Keep on looking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be what? It'll be opened unto you. For it says this, everyone, say everyone, everyone who asks receives, who asks of God, everyone. Now, Satan's been telling some of you this week that you're never going to get what you're asking for, and God, He is faithful, always been faithful, but everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds. Everyone, and the door is open to everyone who knocks. Been looking at the faithfulness of God and God's challenge to us to not give up and to keep asking. Literally in the Greek, it literally means ask and keep asking. Knock and keep knocking. Seek and keep seeking. And regardless of what you're facing, do not stop. It's three simple things. Ask, seek, and knock. And God declares that He will open doors up. And I'm asking God to open some doors. I want you to ask God with me. Maybe you don't need any doors open. We need some doors open. We've talked about digging again. After Abraham died, we talked about the enemy came in and filled up the wells. But Abraham's family and the blessing of God was not over. Abraham was the first one with the covenant, but then it goes to Isaac. And Isaac had a heart to listen to God. And so Isaac was led of the Lord not to run from his desert and from a tough time, but to face it in faith and believe God. And he began to dig the old wells back again and open them up, and one after another, until God gave them peace and placement in the land. We talked about fishing again. Throw your nets again at the word of God. Whatever God says, at your word, Lord. Maybe we've fished all night and we haven't seen any results. And yet, we're saying, Father, at your word, at your word, at your word. You know what Peter said when they saw Jesus walking on the water and the disciples are saying it looks like a ghost? And Peter said, Lord, if it's you, call me, and at your word I will come to you. And again, this morning, we are declaring with our mouth that we are moved not by what we feel and not by what we see and not by what we hear of the enemy, but we're moved by what the Spirit of the Lord is moving inside of us through the Word of God. We are strengthened by His Word and encouraged. And this morning, we go now to Luke chapter 15, and we're going to see in Luke some things that are lost. Been kind of aiming for this for a few weeks, and today's the day. And of course, Luke is the passage a lot of you know. Well, isn't that the passage where we find the story of the prodigal son? Yes, it is. It's right there. But there's a couple other things that are lost here as well. And we will just start in Luke chapter 15 and start with verse 3. So Jesus used this illustration. So he's seeking to get a point across. When Jesus used an illustration or a parable, he was endeavoring to bring something spiritual into a natural understanding so that the disciples and the listeners could get a hold of a spiritual truth that would govern and guide their life. So Jesus used this illustration. If you had 100 sheep and one of them strayed away, and was lost in the wilderness. Now I know some translations say if a man had 100 sheep. Not to say that you ladies couldn't have 100 sheep as well. You could. But in the context, it initially sort of lays out in the masculine. Of course, you understand in Greek you have three different persons, masculine, feminine, and neuter. And so it's kind of laid out that way. So some translations actually speak if a man had 100 sheep And I'm emphasizing that because immediately the next thing that is lost, it's about a lady. And so this has a gentleman, most likely, has 100 sheep, and one of them has strayed away. One has been lost. And so the sheep that's lost is lost where? It says in the wilderness, a dry place, a dangerous place for a single sheep to be out there, definitely at risk of losing its life, and one is lost. But it still has 99. But Jesus is trying to get a point across. That point in part is the value of every life and God's attentiveness to every life because of its value. We have value because we're made by God for God's purposes. If you had 100 sheep then and one strayed away and one was lost in the wilderness, wouldn't you leave the 99 others to go and search for the lost one until you found it? Now the question is raised. Jesus is raising the question. Many of them had livestock. They understood this, that the value of a sheep, it's not that much money, not today, and not even then. One wasn't so much, but it was worth, in today's market, maybe a few hundred dollars, not a great deal. So if you had the 99, you would think, well, you know, I still have a good number here. But the question is, wouldn't you want to get that one that was lost back with the others so it would be safe? And Jesus is making the point that he would. That's what he would do. Some might be in this room this morning that was that lost sheep. They call me a black sheep. I was also called a rotten apple, and I was called a lot of other things by the leadership in the Christian school I attended. And some may be listening today that were part of that leadership when I was in school, and they had reason to have some opinions like that. But thank God for Dr. Heron. Dr. Heron, the president of that school, they would send me to him when everybody else had worn out their boards and got tired of beating on me, trying to straighten me out. They'd send me to him, and he would look me in the eye, and he would say, "Jonathan, when are you going to come to Jesus? When are you going to come clean? When are you going to get right with God?" And he would give me a boarding as well. We would have a board meeting. But every time, with those steel blue eyes, he would look me in the eye and he'd say, "Jonathan, one day you're coming to Jesus. One day you're coming to Jesus." Some of you were like that. Some of you have some family that's like that. Some of you need to remember that God is on the hunt this morning for people like that. Lost things, lost things. Here we have, when you look at the sheep and you think about this, you may be thinking of just a person, and for sure it mentions that, refers to that. But to those who had cattle, to them, their sheep, that was their means of livelihood. That perhaps was their occupation. Maybe that was their income. Maybe that was their job. Maybe that was the only means of support and provision in their family. And so if you lost 10% or 1% or whatever percent, it could make a difference. But the lost, and then you would joyfully, yes, the joy comes. Then you would joyfully, once you found it, you searched for the lost until you found it. And then you would joyfully carry it home on your shoulders. Very close, very personal. And when you arrived, you would call together your friends and neighbors to rejoice with you because your lost sheep was found. One of the stories I came across, this goes back a lot of years ago when I was teaching children's church, and I enjoyed those days. I could act like a kid and didn't get in trouble for it. But one of the stories of one of the shepherds was when the shepherd had a sheep that was chronically a runaway. That the shepherd, because he loved the sheep so much, would break a leg and then mend that leg and care for that sheep, and that sheep would be attached to the shepherd until the day would come when the sheep would be so attached to the shepherd that never again in all of its life would it stray. But lost sheep, God cares about even if it's one. And then there's another story about a lady, a woman who has 10 valuable silver coins. I was thinking about wealth and how it comes and sometimes it goes. And unfortunately, some of you in this room have been conned out of some things in your life and taken advantage of. And maybe you're in partnerships with some unrighteous, ungodly people, or maybe somebody endeavored to actually steal from your accounts. Our accounts have been attacked on several occasions. There are a lot of thieves out there. But this was a lost coin. She still had 9. It was valuable. But she did something. And again, I see this that Jesus was saying, I care about your sheep, but I care about the lost people even more. I care about your wealth, and I care about your retirement funds, and I care about your storehouse, and I care about your investments, and I care about all of that. And it's possible to lose some of that, but this lady did something. She went on a search, and somehow I believe God is saying, if you've lost a sheep or you've lost a coin, that you shouldn't stop believing God for restoration and blessing again and fulfillment and provision in a wonderful way in your life again. I know the enemy might say to some of you, well, you're too old to go out and get another job. You're, and you don't know enough about things to maybe make different decisions. But none of that hinders our Father. And I would encourage you this morning to look at this. Jesus was saying these are practical things. It might be your income. It might be your wealth, your store, your resources, what's been held back that's been lost. But this lady, she went in search of that. And she, with a lamp, she looked in every corner of the house, swept every nook, every cranny, till she found it. And when she found it, she will call her friends and neighbors to rejoice with her because she's found her lost coins. Now, I want to come to your party. I think we need to have more parties when God restores what's been lost. I think we're too quiet about God's faithfulness sometimes. In fact, this morning I was thinking about my wife, and she was trying to behave this morning. Wednesday night she was a little more free. I think she was a little timid here this morning. But I do believe as God is moving in our lives that we need to be looking for things to have a party over and to talk about the goodness of our God and encourage some others who haven't seen their sheep come home yet. They're still looking for Him. They're still searching. Still out there. The coins haven't been found. The retirement fund's not been replenished. And there's not a great answer to some of the challenges. But some of you have had answers. And some of you have had responses. And some of you are seeing the provision of God. And I want to encourage you to be a big mouth about God's goodness when He shows up and shows off. And then there's another thing that's lost. And it's actually, now it's going to be the son. And you know the story, so I'm not going to read all of the story. But we know in the story, the son does what a lot of us did. He runs away from home and he squanders, he wastes. And then he has an encounter with God. I want to encourage you this morning to allow your children to have encounters with God at their lowest spot. I've seen many families want to rescue their children from those encounter moments. Sometimes it takes a low spot for someone to look up. And someone just told me this the other day. They said sometimes you have to be on your back before you're in a good position to look up and really see what matters. And this is a story about that. And I think it's a story that says to parents and grandparents and patriarchs and matriarchs that look at their family and say, my family's not really where they need to be. And where you're looking for an opportunity to be a blessing, be careful that you're not empowering the enemy to keep them where they are. Many times it's God that's knocking, and God is saying, let me deal with them here. Let me deal with them. You keep praying. Keep the lights burning at home. Keep things in order. Keep the ark well caulked so it's waterproof. A storm's going to come. But you keep the place safe so they have a place to come back to. And I believe this is so important. We look at these things, lost things, whether it's a son or a daughter that's lost, whether it's resources that are lost, whether it's an income or sheep or a livelihood that's lost. All of it Jesus ties into lost souls. And then this is what is said. The son, the religious son, didn't get it and was upset about it. But Jesus had this to say, we must celebrate with a feast. We must. It's not that we can. Jesus said we've got to celebrate. Someone comes into the kingdom. Think about this. All of heaven's rejoicing. And we hug them and pat them on the back and send them out with a book and maybe a Bible, you know. But all heaven's rejoicing when someone comes to God and all of you are on task. God is speaking to all of you and through all of us in our community. All of us are lights in the darkness. And I really believe that it's appropriate for us to make a huge deal out of anyone as they come into the kingdom. And we celebrate that and we cheerlead them and we connect with them and engage with them and stand with them in their journey. Are y'all still here? Okay. Got a little quiet. I wasn't sure that we were still here. So praise God. Praise God. So the Father's been saying to me for the last, now we're going on 2 months, maybe 3 months. Even found notes going back to the mountain where I was sitting on the porch and just enjoying the presence of God. And God was saying, you got to encourage the people. There's so much in the world that's thrown at us to discourage us. We have to look to God to be encouraged. We must look to God and not take our circumstances for the rest of the story. We must trust God. We've talked about this. I've thrown it out lightly. I'm going to throw it out lightly again, and then we'll come to the closing this morning. But what God's been saying to me is, do not limit my potential. Years ago, it was in our first few years on Central Parkway in the 90s. Man calls one day and he said, you know, you have a payment coming up. It was a big payment. And he said, either I have my check by 5 o'clock on Friday, or chains will be on the church doors before Sunday morning. You will not have services. And so, you know, this was what I was told. We didn't have any way to see how God was going to provide. And you know, it's so easy sometimes to try to work it out. You know, maybe I can borrow, maybe I can do this, maybe I can do that. But we had already done all that. God had got me to a place, Jeff, where there was nothing else I could do. It was like, either God shows up or else, you know, I guess there'll be chains on the door. But I remember that 5 a.m. prayer meeting. Fred Ritchie was a part of that early morning prayer meeting. And Fred was up in the front and he was having a hallelujah time with Jesus. And I was back toward the back and I was thinking about chains on the front door. And I remember just hanging out with God and saying, Father, what are you saying? What are you saying? And I just sensed that God was saying, well, what if there are chains on the door? Am I still God? Am I still God? Is this your work or is this my work? Is the kingdom of God about what you can do, Jonathan, or is this about what I can do? Is this about you being faithful and able to make something happen, or are you going to trust me to do something? And you know, when God talks, I don't know what happens with you. Maybe you've never had that conversation with God, but I have on more than one occasion. I begin to say, Father, I'm going to trust you. And God began to remind me and really put on my heart to look back and to consciously look at many different occasions where God specifically, without any doubt, showed up in a miraculous way. And God said, I was there, and 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 I was there. And then he said, and I am right here with you. And I got kind of encouraged, and I got a little reckless, and I began to say, well, Father, if there are chains on the door on this little 4.88 acre piece of land, I'm going to believe you for 20 acres. And if they put us off of this, I'm going to trust you to fill a larger piece of land. And you're going to be faithful to do it. And I said, thank you, Father. I'm going to trust in you. Incidentally, we have a bigger piece of land today, don't we? But God did something that day. I'd had a prophet come. Well, yeah. A prophet came. Rachel remembers the prophet coming. He said, you know, Jonathan, God's not going to provide another dollar for this work. You know, when we were building, I remember that. And he spoke those words over us. This ministry's going to go down the tubes. And that was his word. And I remember how God had provided back at that time, because that was another one of those days. And on this day, the enemy will drag up all the garbage that he can find to throw at you, over your kids, your grandkids, your nieces, nephews, whoever. The enemy will do it. But on this morning, as I was trusting God and I was praising God, and I knew that God was up to something, could I challenge you to make note of that when all hell breaks loose, God is up to something in your life. When the sheep is lost, your means of an income, your business is gone. I've seen a lot of you go through things, losing homes and losing businesses, losing cars, losing a lot of things. But you're still here, and God's still giving you life, and God's not finished. When all hell breaks loose, God's up to something. And it's going to be good, and it's going to glorify His name. And so, the mail came that day, and there was money in the mail that would not only fully pay what was due, but funds were left over. And I remember calling Dick Tolles. Some of you remember Dick Tolles. He was a big guy. He was a tall guy. He made me look like a shrimp. I said, Dick, I want you to go with me to the attorney's office to deliver a check today. And I knew that doubting, arguing plan of the enemy and that individual was going to be there with his attorney. And I said, I'm not going to step in that office until 1 minute till 5. I've got the bank check. The bank made it good that day. It's in our hand. And I said, we're going to get off the elevator and we're going to stand outside the door, because God does that to me too. So I figure, God, it's okay for me to do it to somebody else. I mean, have you ever had God wait to the last minute? Don't look at me like that. I said, like, God, where are you? What's going on? So I said, this is my carnal side, right? So we stood outside the door, and there's a clock right there. It's in the hall. This is a uppity-uppity town attorney's office. And I'm watching the clock. It's 1 minute till. Knock on the door. Step into the office. And there sits this man. I was waiting on you. I'm going to put chains on the church. I said, oh, no, you're not. Here's your money. God provided. Years later, I'd be with that man in the last hours of his life. I'd get to share Christ with him many times. I'd get to hear him pray the sinner's prayer. I sure hope he's in heaven. His wife, I know, is. But do you know what he told me? He said, Jonathan, he said, I knew that there was no way that you could ever do half of what was done over at that church. He said, I watched it over the years, and I watched you over the years, and I would see you get pushed into a corner, and then I would see something happened. Every time something happened, I said, that was God that was happening. Every time in my life, when the devil shoved me into a corner and I'm up against the wall, every time God has shown up. And I'll give you another little secret. Sometimes I put myself in that corner without the devil's help. A few times I was just silly enough and stupid enough to make some bad decisions, but I did it with a good heart for God. And God showed up and protected me anyway in those situations. Y'all still here? Just talking about some lost things. Some of you lost some things. And God's been saying to me, listen, do not let the enemy discourage you. I've said for a lot of years, I want to finish strong. I don't want to crawl into heaven. I don't want to limp into heaven. I want to go to heaven with my boots on. I want to be shouting and serving and at war with the enemy and trusting God and believing God. And I want to encourage you, do not let the enemy shut down God's plan in your life until God takes you home. Don't let the enemy discourage you to settle for less than God's best. I read somewhere in the Word of God, it said that God will provide for all of our needs according to His riches in glory. And so I believe regardless of what the Fed does, God is still going to take care of His people, and God is going to take care of this church.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that You are Christ, the Son of the living God, that You died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with Your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
I'm Minister Ezekiel Jones of Lively Stones Ministry. Join us every Saturday at 7:30 a.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring. Always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line.